We are finishing our series on Palm Sunday, and the series is looking at Jesus and his moments of the Last Supper, of washing his disciples' feet. And so this series is called Towels Over Titles, where we look at what does it look like for people to lay down the titles that they have put on them or they put on themselves, and then how do we pick up and serve others. And this week we're going to look at what does it look like when our titles are laid down to serve Jesus. Because we are disciples of Jesus, and at Pine Lake Covenant Church, we talk about our discipleship takes on a pattern and a rhythm to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this is the patterns of our lives as we are disciples of Jesus. And so this morning, we're looking at what does it look like to take off our titles and serve Jesus. And one of the things that was apparent and aware during this, looking at this text of Mary, Bethany, who washes Jesus' feet, it helped me understand, like, and I looked into this idea that, you know, we become as human beings self-aware at a very young age. They say like 18 to 24 months that we become self-aware. Like, kids will notice themselves not as a stranger in the mirror, but they'll start to recognize themselves. So early in the development that God created us as human beings is that we are self-aware early, right? And then that self-awareness not is just absorbed in ourselves, but continues as we develop into 3 to 5 year olds, is they understand that they're aware that other people have perceptions about them, what they think about them, how they act around them, how they interact. And so there's self-awareness, not of who they are, but also how other people think they are. And that awareness is really important and can create a healthy amount of discovery for ourselves in our relationship with God, that we are self-aware of who he's made us to be and how. But then, as we grow into adolescence, one of the things that continues to warp is not only to be self-aware, but we become self-conscious. I've got a 6th grader who is now all of a sudden very conscious of what she's wearing, what other people are wearing, and this idea that we as human beings somehow morph this place of what other people think of us has a great impact. And students, can I give you some bummer news? This happens all the way into adulthood. Every one of these adults in here are not only self-aware, but have the aptitude to be self-conscious about what other people in here. Trust me, they chose to wear what they wear based not only just on what they like, but also coming in this room this morning. We become self-conscious, and this warping of it changes us and calls us to sometimes be ruled by the opinions of other people. But what we see here with Mary Bethany is she is not only fully self-aware of who she is, the place that she lives and in society, but she also fully is self-conscious of those are around her. And this is one of the most beautiful things that perplexes me about this text, is that Mary sees Jesus, not the audience. And the thing that baffles me in this moment is that she sees Jesus. Her eyes are stuck on him, and she is fully aware of who she is, who he is, and the audience is drowned out. And so I want to go through this text with us together. So this is John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles digitally or physically, I always encourage you to look at it, to read along, to see what is happening in the context of Scripture. But if you don't have your Bible, you can follow along with us on the screen. It says this: 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in honor of Jesus. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with a fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Would you join me as we prepare our hearts and pray together for the Spirit to come and to move in this space? Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your presence in our lives, acknowledging right now that you have been with us every moment since our first breath, and you will be with us till our last. So Holy Spirit, come this morning. Would you open our eyes to see you? Would you open our mind to receive the word that you have for us today, the revelation of Jesus made flesh? And Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to be more deeply tied and united to you and to your heart? We ask this in your name. Amen. I don't know if you remember, but in Toy Story 4, I might be a spoiler alert, we did a hot take of, like, I think it's been long enough that if I spoil this, it's not my fault, it's your fault. But in Toy Story 4, at the end of the movie, Andy is about to leave for college, and the whole premise of this movie is like, what do you do with the toys that he's enjoyed all of his adolescent life? And so he decides that he is, instead of going to put them in the attic, he is going to give them away. And he gives them away to a little girl named Bonnie. And as he goes, he knows this little girl, and he knows her affinity for toys. And as he begins to pull out all the toys and tells them about their history and about what roles they play with one another and in life, all of a sudden she looks in the box and she looks down and sees Andy's favorite. And she says, "My cowboy." In Andy's heart, as he picks up Woody, the sheriff, he hesitates in this moment. It's only seconds, but he hesitates. Does he take this precious toy that he's loved for all of his life with him to college to put away to keep, or does he give it away? Looking in the eyes of this little girl who is enamored with this little cowboy. And all of a sudden, it's just in that moment, there's this discretion of where does his love rank? Does his love rank for himself, or is his love going to be poured out? What outranks love? Is it the things? And in this moment, with Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, her perfume, does it outrank her love for Jesus? Because most of us would say that this perfume, this bottle of a year's wages would be off limits, that is not meant for anybody, for her. This is your security blanket. And if you do pour it out, for many of us would call this a waste. A waste of money, a waste of a year's savings, a security blanket. But an offering is never wasted. This, as followers of Jesus, that we see resources sometimes not as something that is wasted, but as an offering that God can do immeasurably more than what we dream or imagine with it. This pint of pure nard that it says in John 12 is that this pint of pure nard was an expensive perfume valued at a year's wages, was poured at his feet. This was her 401k. It was not diversified. It was all in one basket. She didn't use some of it. She wasn't smart. She wasn't thinking about it and say, I'm going to pour a little bit out, save some of my wages for later. She broke the jar, unable to put it back in, and poured it over his feet. She liquefied the resource. And the same way that as Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem on a donkey, that people laid their cloaks down for Jesus and this donkey to ride on. And I don't know if it was a clear day or a rainy day and a muddy day, but if you put your cloak down, not like us, we have many cloaks. And if we put one down, we might choose the worst one to put down that day because we're self-conscious. But this might have been their best as they awaited Jesus to come in. And it was going to be trampled on. It was going to be dirty. It might have been ripped by this donkey and by other people that were walking in beside Jesus. So the question is, what do we hold back? What of our resources that we have still continued to have a mindset of wastefulness instead of an offering? That we are self-conscious and that we might bring our second best, third best, worst. Because we know that it's going to get trampled. We so often squander or waste resources. But we, as followers of Jesus, as we read this text, as we watch the unfolding landscape of God's good story that says what is offered to him is never a waste, but is a public display of adoration, of worship, of devotion, that nothing is being held back from Jesus. But Mary did not only just release her resource, her source of security, but she also released her dignity. And I don't know about you, in this self-conscious, I am a very self-conscious person. I can't even watch a romantic comedy without looking away at the tension moments. Like, I have a really hard time. Like, and this has not just been now, but this has always been. I, as a high school senior, would not go to my senior prom at my own school, no matter how much I cared about my friends. But I was willing to drive 350 miles for a family friend who asked me to go to her prom. Because there I knew no one. There I could dance freely. There I could make a fool of myself for one night and then drive away and never see them again. It was freeing. But then I went back from what was unshackled from my self-conscious, self-aware that I was just enjoying myself, enjoying the way that the Lord had made me, that I went back into my hometown and reshackled myself to self-consciousness. But Mary didn't do this. Mary understood that I often care more about my reputation and the risk that could be at play if I act a certain way. There are many moments in Scripture where we see religious people who care deeply about how they were seen, how they were portrayed, how much of an offering they gave. That customary things that you were supposed to do were very visible on the outside. But brought awareness to who you were, not to Jesus. But in this moment, Mary, understanding that all eyes were on Jesus, her eyes included, that she was about to choose to operate in her self-consciousness or her awareness of who was sitting in the house, at the table. She took the pure nard, the expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and then she let down her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. This is not some, I know I saw some like looks of like, why would you, as men were like, wait, why the hair? And this is the truth, that in Jewish culture, laying your hair down, you don't do this. This was a mark of that this person who let their hair down in front of other people, men and women included, that this would be a mark of loose morals. There would be an audible reaction. There would be a gasp at what she is doing. And they would look at each other and say, this is not right. Ever, no matter in whose audience. Whether it is Jesus or whether it is a rabbi, you don't do this. There was an outside pressure put upon her that this is not what you do. The same way that Jesus, in the expectation of who he was as the Messiah, you don't ride in on a donkey. You ride in on a colt. Your dignity is at stake, Jesus. Why are you riding on a donkey that lowers your threshold of how people will see you? Are you not conscious? Or do you lack awareness, Jesus? That you ride on something that you're not supposed to. But Jesus didn't let his dignity rule. As we talk about in Philippians, that though he was God, he came down as a human, taking the form as a servant. It teaches us a lesson. That yes, Jesus is fully aware, but he is not allowing the public opinion or the expectation to rule the day. To how he reflects the love of the Father, and neither does Mary. She is not about controlling her identity or her dignity. And we too need to look at this and say that we can't be in such a place where we're trying to control our dignity based on our self-conscious of what is around us and who is around us and what the expectation is. But we really do fear that we will be misunderstood. We worry that how people look at us or how they receive us will be misunderstood. And so we worry. Our dignity gets in the way because we don't want to stand out. It is better to be amongst the crowd, fit into all of fashion, than to stand out. We're taught that. Be self-aware that you should fit in, not stand out. We are also self-aware, and we allow self-consciousness to come because we don't sometimes want to lose composure. Sometimes when our dignity is at play and we are so self-conscious about what we project is that we don't want to lose control while inside we are falling apart. Our self-consciousness about the dignity and the reputation of what we have built up, that is what is at stake, doesn't match the interior. We want to project a sense of control, but while the inside there is no foundation. Some acts of worship might never happen because we are so in control of the dignity that we want to possess. Because we are protecting the versions of ourselves we want others to see. And this includes Jesus. That sometimes our self-consciousness and the dignity that we want to attach to ourselves keeps us from worshiping Jesus. I see it in my life. I see it in places where I fear what others might appear to think of me. There's a story that one of my youth workers loved to just give me a hard time about all the time, that I was so worried, so self-conscious about what it meant to be a pastor as I was living on the East Coast in a post-Christian, post-modern culture. That when people asked me what I did as a youth pastor, I said, oh, I mentor and work with students. Work with them socially and emotionally. Help them understand their conscience, their character, the integrity, who they are and who they want to be. And all those things. In fear that if I said I was a pastor caring for the souls of young people trying to figure out who they are in a world who wants to tell them who they are, somehow that would change my perception, people's perceptions of who I am. And somehow my dignity would be less than because I care for the souls of human beings. And so thus, if we're in Jesus, who could be glorified, who could be magnified, who could be given voice to with people to say, yes, I'm a youth pastor. I love Jesus with all my heart. I feel called into ministry. And I believe that what we do here on earth matters. How we understand the divine, how we understand a creator who created us, who loves us, who feels like there's a distance between us that we can never live up to. And I want to introduce people to this human being that's in the name of the person of Jesus, who set every one of us free. But the dignity gets in the way. Stay with me, church. I think public displays of affection, they do make us nervous, right? I heard some chuckles, right? They do. It's something that we teach. Like, there is a space and a place for those public displays of affection. But I think as a culture, in this idea of self-consciousness, I think we have taken it too far. I think we have gone too far. Hear me out. If Mary took the stance that public displays of affection were not appropriate in some places or in some spaces, she never would have moved from serving in the back of the house. It would keep us from making the move to seeing Jesus and hearing the stories of how much he loves you, how much he loved her, and from moving in public spaces. That if we believe that public displays of affection are not appropriate in certain places or spaces, and we allow people to predetermine what those spaces and places are, Mary should have never moved. You and I should never move. Because we should not worship outside of this space, this place, that it is reserved only for your worship. And everything you do every other day of the week should be disconnected from your public displays of affection of Jesus. Keep it to yourself. But her public displays of affection for Jesus were smelt when she broke the jar for the rest of the evening, and I'm sure months and months after, the perfume was smelt in that room, and that every time some traveler went by and knew that Jesus was there, they didn't remember, they smelt it. And it was a beautiful smell, a beautiful offering, something that elicits pure joy, comfort, security, love, grace, presence. It was not only smelt, but it was also felt. That every person in that room felt the tension of Mary bringing this jar of perfume, breaking it open, palpable tension of her letting down her hair and beginning to wipe Jesus' feet. It was a moment that you are not a heart of stone, that you felt something move. Either it was like disgust, questioning, wondering, mesmerized, in awe. You felt something. That this public display of affection was not only smelt, but it was felt. Her devotion was with Jesus. Her devotion to Jesus was not something that she could conceal when the room was watching. And Jesus' response is beautiful. Leave her alone. Stop it. Quiet your mouth. Keep your eyes here. It was intended that she should keep this for his burial. You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me. The question is, what are you waiting for? What opportunity are you waiting for that you can offer this same public display of affection for Jesus? Are you waiting for an empty room where it's just you and Jesus? Are you waiting for a gift that is good enough, valuable enough to cause people to question, to wonder, to gasp? Are you holding your dignity? Are you holding your resources back because you are worried about what others think? You're worried more about the audience than you are worried about Jesus. My friends, I'm going to tell you the truth. Your faith, my faith, our faith is meant to be very, very personal. It is a decision you make that you interact with the Holy Spirit, connected with Jesus, looking at the Father, and you make a decision to live one way and now another. That it is your way, now it's his way. That it is you first, him first. It is very personal. One of my mom's sayings is like, you can never control somebody else. You can never tell them what to do. But you can control your own decisions and your own reactions and your own choices. Our faith, and we've heard this for years, decades. I've grown up with this. Your faith is very personal, but it is never meant to be private. Never. Ever. And this is not just my own personal opinion. This is as I look through Scripture and I see stories. I see people who have walked with Jesus couldn't help but take these experiences that they had with them and keep them to themselves. They must write this down. They must share this. They must share their personal experience of how they saw Jesus, how they saw him work, how they saw him move, how they saw him on the cross, how they saw him raised from the dead, and how they saw him and expected him and what he said that he would come back. It was never, ever, ever meant to be private. And it tells me, not only when we talk about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, if that is a very personal thing that Jesus is asking you to look at yourself, to reflect in the mirror, how do you love God with everything that you are, and how do you love your neighbor as yourself with everything you are, and make the personal decision, and then show it, and make it public. This is what you and I are called as disciples of Jesus, as an apprentice of Jesus, that we are witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ transforming my life, your life, our life as a community, and then communities within the greater area which we live are transformed because the people who live in those communities are being transformed, not holding their faith, their very personal faith, private, but walking out into the world that they exist in. And sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that has transformed them, that has renewed them, that has set them free, that has taken out years of bondage and have given them hope when everything seems hopeless. This is the legacy of Jesus. This is the legacy of the disciples. This is the legacy of Mary, to say that your dignity, your resources are a gift of worship to Jesus. Not only on Sunday mornings, not only in the gathering, but in all places that we show affection and devotion to Jesus, in every space, in every place, because we see Jesus more than we see everybody around us. This is the title that we had to take down of our dignity, our reputation, even when it comes to Jesus, and say, my affection and my devotion to you will not be private anymore, Lord, but it will be public. I will do it in every space and every place because I see you more than I see everybody else. My devotion is more to you than to anybody else. And that is a decision that you have to make. That is a decision that Jesus allows you the opportunity to, because he died for you. He affords you that opportunity to make the choice, not forced, but freely given, so that you might know life, goodness, love. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Wash his feet with everything that you are and everything that you have. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, may there be no more of my words, but may you speak, and I will be quiet. Holy Spirit, what word of good news are you speaking to each one of us this morning? Holy Spirit, what word is for us? Not for our jobs, not for our success, not for tomorrow, or the weeks and months ahead and years ahead, but what today? What word do you have for us as sons and daughters of the Most High God, who is loved beyond compare? Holy Spirit, speak those words now and forevermore. We ask this in your name. Amen.